God has an encouraging word for you and me today through the Bible-based preaching of Dr. Don Wilton on this edition of The Encouraging Word. The Encouraging Word. In just a few moments, Dr. Wilton will be taking us straight to Scripture to answer this question, what to do when you don't know what to do. As we open the Word together, Dr. Don wants you to know we're here for you. We'd love to talk with you, pray with you on our phone number at 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. Or let's connect on our website at tewonline.org. Right now, so many folks are asking about and getting the copy of Defying the Odds by Dr. Wilton, a brand new book, as well as Faith in the Midst of Crisis. Both are right on the front page of our website, tewonline.org. Hope you'll take a look at that. You can take a peek at it while we open God's Word together on today's message with Dr. Don Wilton.
Now, God has an encouraging word just for you today, because He loves you. And I'm going to invite you to open your Bibles with me to the book of Romans and chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Now, friends, you and I are about to study God's word together, and this is His encouraging word. And I can promise you one thing, that the Lord Jesus, by His Spirit, is already speaking to you. And now when we open His Word together, He is going to speak to you and directly to your heart. Let me just tell you this about what I'm about to speak to you about. Here's the subject: what to do when you don't know what to do. We've got a predicament. Every one of us has a predicament today, and it's a twofold predicament. Number one, we've got a predicament because we live in a fallen world. Now, I want you to just listen carefully to this. When God created the world, He created twofold. He created the world in which we live, and then He created us to live in the world that He had created. I'm going to present to you the Garden of Eden, right? You didn't just happen. God made you. He created you in His image. What happened? Sin came into the world. And when sin came into the world, two things happened. This earth was no longer perfect. The earth, this world, this place, immediately began to fall apart. Second, we did too. We live in an imperfect, sinful world, and we ourselves live imperfect, sinful lives. We've got a serious problem in our hands. Now, if you fast forward, I'm not preaching on this. I'm going to in the fall. I'm going to be doing an incredible series this coming fall in the book of Revelation. But if you fast forward all the way to the end of the Bible, God tells us what He's going to do with this twofold problem. Number one, He's going to recreate the world, a new heaven and a new earth. This world in which we live is going to go back to the Garden of Eden. I'm going to make all of us think very carefully. Here's a question: where exactly is eternal heaven going to be? Right here on this earth. How do we know that? Because God's encouraging word tells us that. The Bible in Revelation 21 says, I saw heaven come down from God to this earth. And in the final scheme of God's plan for redemption, Jesus Christ, who has returned to this earth, sets up His reigning kingdom in Jerusalem, the headquarters of heaven, in a perfect world, back to the Garden of Eden, And every person who has trusted Jesus as Lord and Savior is going to be there. You know, folks, we are a sinful people bound by our sinful predicament. You've got a serious problem on your hands, and our world has a serious problem. Those of us who know Christ ought not to be surprised at the behavior of the world. That is what Paul is talking about here in Romans chapter 8. What he does is he presents to us this unbelievable predicament. How is this world ever going to be restored, and how can this earth ever solve its own problem? And how can man ever be reconciled to a holy and a righteous God? And how can man ever be restored in a right relationship with God? I don't know what to do about it. What to do when you don't know what to do? Let me read you some of this. I'm going to be in Romans chapter 8 and verse 22 beginning. Here's what Paul says: "For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now." Everybody just look at me. There is nothing more wonderful than the birth of a baby. The picture that we've got here that Paul presents to us is of this earth whose sin, since the sin of the world, has been in a perpetual labor pain with one problem: unable to deliver, unable to be relieved of. I remember when our first son was born, Rob. I remember it clearly. And I remember my wife Karen going through 17 hours of labor. I don't think I've ever suffered like that in my life before. I even made the mistake, I remember very clearly, of her lying there and I didn't know what to do, and I went and got her a damp cloth and it was just dripping with water. Anyway, I'm not going to tell you what she suggested I should do with myself. But finally, after a long period of time, our son was born. By the way, mothers, I understand, very frequently will tell you how quickly they forget what they had to go through because of the joy that has been delivered. There's a picture here that God is showing us. I want you to get this, because God is about to show us about an incredible delivery. And he's speaking, first of all, about the earth and the corruption of this earth. Then secondly, he's going to switch. Watch this. I'm in verse 22. "For we know that the whole of creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now, and not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the spirits, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons, even the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved." Now, hope is that seen. Now, hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with a deep spiritual patience. Watch this, verse 26. "Likewise, the Spirit of God helps us in our weakness. For we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words." And he who searches hearts knows what the mind, what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Couple of things I just want to say. Two casualties of sin, very clearly put here in Scripture. Number one, creation. Creation of this earth. Corruption, degradation. This world that longs for the new heaven and the new earth. And secondly, ourselves. Two great casualties of the sin of Adam and Eve. What does the presence of sin do in our lives? Have you ever thought about that? What does sin do in your life and in my life? Couple of things. Number one, gives us imperfect perspectives.
You're listening to Dr. Don Wilton. We'll be back with more of today's message and answer that particular focus on changing our perspectives, moving them from imperfect to God's perfect perspectives. As we study the Word together, I pray you'll know that we're available with a number of resources that will help you grow in your faith. You can find them online at tewonline.org. It's also the place to hear this message, share it with some friends. That's tewonline.org. It's also a great place to sign up for the daily encouraging word email from Dr. Don. It is a powerful word of truth from Scripture. It's a point of application so that you can apply it to, we can apply it to our lives every day. It jumpstarts my quiet time in a special way, and I know it will yours if you'll sign up today online at tewonline.org. Just sign up for the daily encouraging word email. I believe you'll be blessed by it. Now let's dive back into today's message, What to Do When You Don't Know What to Do, by Dr. Don Wilton.
Someone might say to me, well, Pastor, what is a perspective? It's an attitude toward or regarding something. Sin, in other words, alters our perspective. It distorts our point of view. That's why some of you think the way you think. Sin does that. That's why be very careful about the company your young people keep, the places they go, the things that they do, the manner with which they serve the Lord. What does sin do? The presence of sin. It limits our understanding. It limits our understanding of ourselves. It limits our understanding of our world. It limits our ability to assess what is important. It distorts our value system. Have you noticed something in the world today? More and more, people will say, you know what? That doesn't really matter. I heard a preacher this week, a preacher that I know, a preacher in a church, say, I want you all to know something. See this Bible here, and especially the Old Testament? Take it with a pinch of salt. You don't have to believe everything that the Bible says. As long as you just believe in God. What does sin do in our lives? It gives us imperfect perspectives. It limits our understanding. It mars our relationships. I'm not going to ask any of you to hold your hand up right now, but if I was to ask this question today, honestly, how many of you today in your family, people that are close to you, relatives, friends, are living in a not so good relationship with them? How many of you, don't raise your hand, are out of fellowship with members of your family? That's what sin does. Sin weakens our abilities. The presence of sin in my life prevents me from being able to accomplish what I need to accomplish according to the will of God. The reason why I battle so much to do what I know that I must do. Paul put it like this. He said, the good that I would that I do not, and the evil that I would not that I do. And he even called himself a wretched man. Cried out to God, oh God, would you deliver me from the scourge? What does the presence of sin do? It plays with our appetites. So where were you last night? Huh? What did you do this week when no one was watching you? I heard this week of a man that I know and love, who's as old as I am, who after 45 years, it has come to the surface that he's been running a double life, that he's been dealing in pornography, that he's had private websites, that he's been going to certain zones in life. There's been a double life. Are you one of those people today? Are you living a double life? I got such good news for you. You can be delivered. I've got such news for you. You can turn the corner. You can stand up again. You can be changed forever. You can have hope. What does the presence of sin in our lives do? It plays with our appetites. It confuses our conversation. I'm full of rhetorical questions today, aren't I? Is there anyone listening today that your manner of speech is highly questionable? Your conversation. Not talking about when we're together, maybe when we're with our wives and our husbands and in our family circles. I'm talking about when you're out there, when you're with the boys. I've even heard people say, well, there's locker room talk and then there's normal talk. Really? How are you doing? Both God's created world and God's created people, the Bible says, groan. By the way, that little word groan is an interesting word because the word in the texture literally means to groan. It's the utterance of a person who is caught in a dreadful situation and has no immediate prospect of deliverance. That little word groan there, the whole world is groaning. You and I are groaning. It means that you and I and this world, we're caught in an awful predicament. And we don't know what to say, and we don't know how to deal with it, and we want to give up, and we want to end it, and we want to say no more, and I don't know, and I'm just going to carry on like I am, and there's no immediate hope or semblance of opportunity for any kind of delivery. Here the Apostle Paul, talking to the church at Rome, what's he doing, folks? He's just revealing the immeasurable, comforting truth that the Holy Spirit comes alongside us and alongside all of creation in groaning for God's ultimate day of restoration and His eternal reign of righteousness. In other words, what Paul is saying here is you can trust God to do His work. So here's the bottom line. This predicament begs two questions. What's going to become of our world? And what's going to become of us? All over the world today, there are people more and more who are asking these questions. What's going to become of this world in which we live? It's not pretty. It's not hopeful. What's going to become of us? Where do we fit into this? Because our remaining humaneness and our susceptibility to sin and doubt, God, who loves us so very much, has given to us His Holy Spirit, who comes alongside us in our hopelessness, and He helps us in our weakness. Greater is He that is in us, the Spirit of the living God, than he that's in the world. You can have the victory today. So, what can we do when you don't know what to do? Here's three things. If you take anything away today, this is what I would encourage you to never forget. What can you and I do? Number one, make certain that you've received the Holy Spirit. If the Spirit groans for us, speaks for us, comes alongside of us, make certain that you've received the Holy Spirit. Now, you're all going to say to me, well, Pastor, how do I receive the Holy Spirit? You see, the Holy Spirit is the third person of God. God is one. He's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. How did the Holy Spirit come here? Well, remember, in the beginning, God was one. Bible says, in the beginning, God. God always is. God Father, God Son, God Holy Spirit. The beginning of the New Testament, all right, Jesus was born. Jesus came to this earth, and he ministered on this earth. When he went back up into heaven, he didn't abandon us. He sent his Holy Spirit, himself, the Comforter, the one who comes alongside of us, the one who convicts us of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. He comes alongside of us. And if you want to make certain that you have the Holy Spirit in your life, you have to give your heart and life to the Lord Jesus. That's how you receive the Holy Spirit. Number one, you need to acknowledge that you're a sinner before God. Just do that. Just say before God from your heart, Lord, I know I fall into this category. I'm he, I'm she, I'm a sinner. All of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Number two, believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. Just believe in your heart, because the Bible says if you believe that God raised Jesus from the dead, Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10. Number three, confess that sin to him. Confess your sin to Jesus. You might say to me, well, Pastor, what does that mean? You need to say to Jesus, he is the only one who can forgive you. Your priest cannot forgive you. I cannot forgive you. Your church membership cannot forgive you. But Jesus can, because Jesus is the Son of God. Number one, I'm a sinner, Lord. I acknowledge that. I believe that Jesus is Christ, that he was raised from the dead, that he is Lord, and I confess my sin to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's when Jesus will come into your heart. I receive Jesus into my heart. This is the work of God. This is what God does. Because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him will not die, but will have eternal life. So if you want to know what to do when you don't know what to do, number one, make sure that you've received the Holy Spirit. Number two, settle the issue of your faith in God. Now, friends, listen to this. Settle the issue of your faith in God. Your faith and your feelings are two different things. Remember, we live in a fallen world as sinful people. So your feelings are going to keep getting in the way. You're not always going to feel like you're saved. You're not always going to feel like you've been forgiven. You're not always going to feel that you are able to do exceedingly abundantly above. You're not always going to feel. But your faith is going to determine the fact of your salvation in Christ through his word. That's why this is God's encouraging word. You can take God at his word. And number three, trust the Lord to do his work. Trust the Lord to do his work. Would you do that? Trust him to do his work. So here it is, what to do when you don't know what to do. Number one, make sure that you receive the Holy Spirit. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is the one who speaks for us when all we've got is groanings. We don't know what to do. God will do it for you by his Spirit because you've trusted Jesus as your Savior and your Lord. I don't do this. God does it in me. It's Christ in me who gives me my hope and my joy. He is the deliverer. Number two, separate out. Settle the issue of your faith in God. Determine right now that you're going to walk by faith. That's what he was talking about in Romans chapter 8. Walk by faith, not by sight. Don't judge yourself and your world based upon what you see. Judge what is going on in the context of what you know to be true because God has said it. Take God at his word. And number three, you got to trust God, take Him at His word, trust the Lord to do His work.
What a powerful word for all of us, to trust the Lord as He does His work. Has the Lord and His Spirit been working on you in these last few moments? Is there something that needs to change? A course correction. Perhaps it's the most important correction, and that's the idea of saying yes to Jesus Christ. But before we get away, would you take a moment and hear these closing thoughts from our pastor, Dr. Don Wilton?
Are you ready to give your heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ? Why don't you pray this prayer with me right now? Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner, and I know that Jesus died for me on the cross. Today, I repent of my sin, and by faith, I receive you into my heart. In Jesus' name. My friend, I welcome you today into the family of God. This is exciting news.
If you've just given your life to Jesus Christ or rededicated your life, oh my goodness, we're so excited to welcome you to a fresh new commitment to God and His encouraging word. We'd love to put some free resources in your hands. Dr. Don has prepared a special packet for you. Would you give us a call and let us know you've given your heart to Christ? 866-899-WORD is the phone number. That's 866-899-9673. You can also connect with us online at tewonline.org. We'd love to put resources in your hands that'll help you grow. And now more than ever, in this time of both separation and conflict, I pray that you would know that God is ready to give you faith in the midst of a crisis. As a matter of fact, that's a special offer we're making for you right now.
We believe in the power of prayer. We all know of someone who stands in the need of prayer. But what about you today? Do you need someone to pray for you? What concerns you today? Is something or someone weighing heavy on your heart? Call us at 866-899-WORD. We're here for you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. 866-899-WORD. All prayer calls are confidential. We would love to pray for you. The Encouraging Word is a viewer and listener-supported ministry. Thank you for listening today.
Our time's gone for today, but before we get away, don't forget about the Daily Encouraging Word Bible Guide. You can sign up for it in a hard copy form online or get the email every day. This morning, Dr. Don was talking about 1 Corinthians 12:5, the fact that there are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. My granddaddy used to say, if there are two of us identical, one of us may be unnecessary. But, you know, even with identical twins, there's different ministries, different love, different opportunity to change the world from your particular perspective. I pray that you realize God is ready to use you to be an encourager. It's our prayer that the Word of God and the teachings of our pastor today has encouraged you. Now the challenge is to go be that encourager to someone else. Go be light in the small area of your world that you get to connect with and bring lightness to that darkness. Again, if you ever need us, we're here to encourage you on the phone, online. The phone number again is 866-899-9673, or meet us online at tewonline.org. The Encourage.